Welcome back to the Chasing Tone podcast. Today I'm going to try to do something quite a bit different than something I've done different than ever before. And I'm going to call this a Chasing Tone Rewind. So basically what this is, I've been at Gear Fest at Sweetwater in Fort Wayne, Indiana all week, all weekend, most of the week and all weekend. And as such, did not get a podcast recorded. And then I'm gone for the next few days this week. So I wanted to kind of take the very first episode that we did. I know there's a lot of listeners out there that may not have worked into that back catalog. And it is quite a bit different. So let's put this one up there. I'd love to hear some thoughts on what others think. If it, you know, and the podcast has changed completely from the beginning to what it is now. So I thought it might be quite interesting. So anyways, without further ado, let's jump into it right now. Hope you all enjoy it.
Hi, this is Travis and Max from Wampler Pedals. I'm Travis.
I'm Max.
And we're sitting here with the man himself, Brian Wampler. And the reason I kind of wanted to get you in here, thanks for doing it, by the way.
I had no choice.
You're the boss. You always have a choice. But no, seriously, we know how busy you are. But we wanted to kind of run some questions by you that we get a lot through either the help desk or through the phones. And I think I'd really appreciate it because some of this stuff, I don't even know your take on. Obviously, I have my own opinion. Max has his. But let's just jump into it. Some questions that we get a lot is why would I want a distortion pedal or an overdrive pedal, especially if my amp has an overdrive channel or a gain channel?
Well, let's say you're playing a gig, and it's a four-hour gig, and you have one distortion sound and one clean sound. That's going to get pretty boring, not only for you, but for the audience. And it's kind of uninspiring playing the same tone all night.
Yeah.
You know? And there's a lot of songs that it may have more of an AC-30 type sound. It may have more of a, you know, an old school tweed type sound. Mm-hmm. Maybe your amp is, you know, based off something that's not real crunchy, real Marshall-y sounding. Mm-hmm. And you want that sound, but you don't want to drag five amps.
Right.
So, you know, it's just grab a couple distortion pedals, run them through the clean channel, and you've got a multitude of different channels for your amp and tons of different sounds. And then you can mix and match and, mm-hmm. and you know, stack them together, run one into the other one and get different sounds as well.
Right. And one thing I noticed too is I'm fortunate enough to where I get to gig around quite a bit locally. And if I'm doing a blues gig, obviously, you know, you can get away with a little bit, you know, one or two tones all night. But if you're doing a cover band gig like I've done, I mean, it's really hard. I mean, you and I, we can tell the difference between AC/DC and Eddie Van Halen.
Right.
You know? And to be inspired in that, you know, mode or whatever, you may want something that's got that brown sound for that, and then the AC/DC, you know, total different tones, you know?
Yeah, it is. And it's And they feel different too. So it's not only just how it sounds.
Right, which goes back to, like, you know, the feel, the inspiration and all that.
Yeah, mm-hmm. So pedals are going to respond differently. Every pedal is. Mm-hmm. Even if it's, you know, there's tons of different Tube Screamer type pedals out there.
Of course.
But they all do sound a little different.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they may be based on the same circuitry, but some are a little bit spongier, some are a little bit tighter, some are a little bit you know, have a little bit more clean signal that's kind of mixed in with it.
Right.
Some of it, I mean, it's all over the place, even though they're technically the same circuit. And there's a million different reasons for that. And I'm not going to bore you with the details about capacitors and impedance and that kind of stuff. But, you know, and the thing is, I mean, that's a good sounding pedal and it's a good sounding tone.
Mm-hmm.
But it is one, it is kind of a place to start from.
So, right.
And I, like me personally, I do a lot more country type stuff. And the last thing I want is the same sound on every song. And not only from a player's perspective, but from a fan's perspective,
right.
From a playing perspective, I want to be inspired to play something. If I kick on a different pedal, I want that to allow the tone will kind of take me to different places, and I'll think about the way I phrase things differently. You know what I mean?
Right. I always made the joke with one of my friends. This was long before I started working here. Really was that into gear, but I was playing in a three-piece band, and you know, there's a lot of these blues guys that do three-piece bands and they use the same tone all night, and mm-hmm. to me it's just as a player, it got so boring. And mm-hmm. I used to tell him it's all about sonic variants, mm-hmm. you know. Yeah. And I even joked that if I ever started any type of gear company, it'd be called Sonic Variants. but no, and it really is. So
I'm gonna write that down for our next pedal real quick.
Patent pending. Patent pending. But you know, so that's some good insight, especially from somebody that's, you know, does this for a living, you know. Mm-hmm. What do you think, Max?
Yeah, absolutely.
Really? Yeah, that's thanks for adding so much to that, Max. Hold on, let me try to clarify that. Yes, absolutely, probably.
The guy's covered all the bases. At being a guitar player with ADD, you definitely want lots of different colors of paint for the picture. What else do you say to that? You guys took over the whole thing. It's like, yep.
Absolutely. Interject.
I'd like to note that this is Max's last day.
I get the brunt of everything. The other day I left to go get lunch for everybody, and I come back and they've used pink industrial saran wrap to shrink wrap my desk, my chair and briefcase and everything in it all around.
And if you follow us on Instagram,
you can find that picture. You can
just Whopper Pedals.
Yeah. But the funny thing of it was that it was fun.
Oh, it was a blast for us.
Yeah, except when you're me.
Hey, but you also got to admit that my favorite part of the prank, actually, we have video of that prank.
Do you really?
Yeah, we do.
That would be great to post.
Yeah.
Well, it was terrible.
That's only if it's you.
Of course, it was me.
To everybody else. It's so funny. I mean, we laugh at your expense.
Of course.
Whatever. What about my expense?
Well, he said it's gone now. No. Okay, so back on track. Okay, so we've kind of discussed overdrives and gains. So a question that I think that a lot of people are too embarrassed to ask is what technically, maybe not even technically, but what's the difference between overdrive, distortion, and, say, fuzz?
Well, that's all based kind of on opinion and kind of on fact. I mean, the factual difference is that fuzz is going to be more of a square wave as it clips. Mm. And, you know, distortion is a little more square, but not quite as square. Overdrive is more of a rounded sine wave. So it's just barely clipping. That's technically speaking. Mm. But from a player's perspective, like an overdrive is going to be, it's going to be a little bit smoother, a little bit creamier. It's going to be lighter gain. Distortion is going to be a little bit crunchier, a little bit heavier gain. And then fuzz is going to be like the heaviest gain of all. So heavy that it's clipping very harshly almost. Mm-hmm. And yeah. I use harshly. That doesn't mean in a bad way. It means it's not a pretty nice smooth overdrive. Yeah. It's not a beautiful, you know, just a little bit of grit on it.
Except for when Eric Johnson plays it.
And that's kind of like we went with when we were designing the Velvet. I mean, mm-hmm. Yeah, he's playing a fuzz face, but he's playing a fuzz face to a very loud amp that's already clipping. And once you add that fuzz on top of an amp that's clipping,
comes
then
the
it
magic
smooths
word,
it out.
Compression.
Yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. which, you know, that confuses a lot of people too.
Now play a standard fuzz into a twin that's on like 1.5 or 2.
Right.
And you'll be like, oh my, that's the worst sound I've ever heard. You know?
And yeah, I can remember the first time I played a fuzz face. It was through a solid state amp, you know, when I first started playing. And I played a fuzz face because obviously it's what Hendrix played, so it had to be best.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, so I grabbed that. I played it through. It was a Gorilla amp. Do you remember these amps?
I have one. Max, I had one.
You're probably too young. But no, do you remember the Gorilla amps?
Yeah,
okay. But I played it. You can imagine how it sounded.
I have underwear older than Max, actually.
I got kind of sidetracked. You guys kept talking about smooth and crunchy. I kept going back to peanut butter. tone.
There's our catchphrase, tone. Yeah, but another thing I want to kind of delve into a little bit there is the layman's term of compression, because mm-hmm. we kind of hit on that. And to me, that's the biggest difference, you know, between overdrive, distortion, and fuzz is how they feel and how they compress.
Yeah.
And the way that I kind of say that is the most basic way for me to describe compression, and tell me if you agree with this, is almost how it controls your dynamics. As far as on an overdrive, you're going to get more variance between pick attack. Your lighter pick attack is going to be less gain. Harder pick attack is going to be more gain. And obviously that stays true through a distortion and fuzz, but I don't think it's as dynamic as you go up in the clipping.
Yeah, it's, well, typically, Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, that all that stuff is can be designed into it.
Right.
You know, I mean, and that's something about, especially a lot of the newer companies that have came out the past couple of years. You know, we all kind of came from the DIY scene, you know,
right.
which is, mm-hmm. you know, everybody at that time, you know, 10, 15 years ago was modifying Boss pedals and, you know, trying to figure out what they liked about that stuff, what they didn't like. Mm-hmm. And compression was a big part of it and feel. So, you know, what we did is just kind of like every other guy with a breadboard who is trying to create something cool. We just sat down and figured out, okay, well, what is causing the compression? What is inhibiting the compression? Why doesn't, you know, the Boss DS1, why does it do what it does? And why does it do the things that I don't like? Why does it do the things that I do like? So what you have now is a lot of companies with really great pedals, especially right. compared to 10 or 15 years ago. And, yeah. and that's not just us. I mean, we're all fans of all different kinds of companies.
Of course,
you know?
Yeah.
We all have different companies' pedals on our boards.
Yeah.
You know, just because we're all huge fans of gear in general.
Yeah.
To a fault sometimes.
ask my wife. She actually is mad at me. I found this out the other day. I recently bought a guitar, and every time I get lost in it, I start playing it, and I'll say, oh, gosh, I love this guitar. And she'll just kind of, and normally in the past, she's like, oh, that's great. I'm glad you like it. With this particular guitar, she just always goes, mm-hmm. And this is coming from a woman. The first time I ever, you'll probably know the name of the song as soon as I describe it, but it's a Brad Paisley song. We're driving down the road.
Every rose has a thorn.
Probably. I mean, it's in G, and all his stuff's in G, so he can do that open string stuff. But okay, I hope Brad's not listening. I'm sorry. But
it's Mr. Paisley.
Yeah, it's Mr. Paisley. But we're driving down the road, and it's a song. I know it's in the key of E, mm-hmm. but she goes, that sounds like an open-faced wah pedal. And I just looked at her. I was like, you are the hottest woman I've ever met. But you probably know exactly what song I'm talking about, don't you?
We're pulling over right now.
When was the era again?
What's that?
What was the era again?
Era?
Yeah, like when was the song from again?
I don't know. It's country.
Open. Oh, the Paisley song.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can hear it. I just can't think of it.
Yeah. Oh, well. But.
Oh, no. I thought I'm going to figure this out.
Okay. Sure.
Okay, I can't think of it.
Okay, fair
anyways,
enough.
Yeah, I know exactly what song you're talking about. He's actually using a real McCoy on that.
Oh, so it actually is an open face mm-hmm. wobble. Look at that, right? Yep. That's my wife. But yeah, so I mean, she's.
Did you say? Yeah, well, one ducker. Yeah. One ducker's in it. Like, you know everything.
I don't know what that means. That's a total lie. But no, so a woman that can spot that kind of thing and has been around gear for the last 12 years, you know, you can tell when she's mad at me whenever she looks at a guitar. I'm afraid she may resent me for it. Okay. Speaking of which, I think we need to do market research on a Marshall 2061 or a 50 watt tremolo vintage head or something. I don't know. That's just market research. I'll test it for you.
You can only figure out exactly which are the good ones by buying several.
If that's the case, Univibes. I almost had him sold on that the other day, Max. He was like, yeah, we probably do need some kind of vibe. And hopefully that makes you guys happy to hear that. But if it does, you know.
Think Travis.
Yeah. Yeah. It's only been since December of 2012 I've been tugging at you to do one of those. But I almost had him talked into it, Max. I said, you know, he was like, yeah, we do need a vibe. I was like, what? And he even said, well, don't you have to buy like two or three of them to figure out the good ones?
Yes, you do.
Exactly. I was like, well, yeah.
A case of beer later, we got four.
But
actually, I've got this plug-in on GarageBand that does it. I don't need it.
No.
But
no.
Grab the newspaper.
Roll the newspaper.
Yeah. Get the squirt bottle. Yeah, the squirt bottle. No. Okay, something I touched on a little bit too when I was talking about the Gorilla amp and the first time I played a fuzz into it. Mm-hmm. You know, the Gorilla is obviously a solid state amp, you know, and another thing, I always get requests for good tube amps. You know, what's a good starter tube amp? Why do I need a tube amp? You know,
Well, you know, there's good solid state and there's good tubes and there's bad tube amps and bad solid state. A lot of it's personal preference. You know, I mean, there was an old PV solid state amp that I had for a while. I don't even remember the name of it now. But it actually had a really, really good distortion tone. It was a head.
Okay.
I was running through a 412 cabinet. This has been like 80s or 90s, late early 90s or something. So, but I mean, it actually had a pretty good sound to it. And
Well, I remember back in the 80s, a lot of those guys, you know, we're using some solid state stuff from what I remember. A lot of
there's a lot of crate users, I think.
Yeah, exactly.
Why?
Remember those old, they were like old gray carpet. Well, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Those solid state amps. I played in a band with one of those guys and who had one of those. And I mean, the thing was that, like, I was afraid to touch it because you could actually, with that gray carpet, you could see how dirty your amp gets, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, at least I can wipe that off on Tolex. But he was like, you want to play my amp? I said, instantly, no.
You just carry a can of Lysol with you.
But no, the thing with a solid state, you know, it definitely has its advantage, you know?
It does. I mean, if you run a pedal that's, okay, like with the tube amp, you can turn up the volume and get a little more compression in it. You get a little bit, I think, a little better tone, a little bit warmer tone.
Yeah, same here. Yeah.
But you get that, the natural, it's not necessarily like distortion or overdrive, but it's just barely clipping technically.
Right.
And so it's actually a little bit better of a sound through a tube amp. Now, solid state, for the most part, is kind of made where it's clean, 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 and then it breaks up.
Right.
And you know, and it doesn't have that compressed, that part between distortion and totally clean, that's like the sweet spot for tube amp.
And the way I like to think of it is this is about as technical as I get, and this is probably not even going to relate to anything because it's so lay terms. But I like to think of it as there's a line at the top. Anything that goes over that line is going to clip out and sound terrible.
Mm-hmm.
With a tube amp, it curves up to that line and comes back down.
Mm-hmm.
With a solid state line or solid state amp, it goes and it peaks above it and then comes back down.
Right.
And that's just a visual way I kind of think about it. And I know it's not very technical.
It's fairly, I mean, it's kind of accurate though. I mean, just,
right.
Just because of the way tubes are the way they work and the way that transistors work, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And that's, but I mean, to get a little geeky on you, that's why we went from tube technology to, you know, solid state technology as far as military and everything else goes, because tubes had that point where they just
fail.
Yeah, I mean that's bad if you're in an aircraft and it, you know, you're using a tube as a switch or something and it doesn't turn off. You know, whereas a transistor, it's on or off.
Right.
You know, there's not a whole lot of in between there.
Yeah.
So,
but that's something we get a lot too. We were talking at lunch earlier too about some good budget friendly tube amps, and the one that came up was the Classic 30. What a great amp.
The Classic 30 and the 50 is a great amp. Yeah.
Yeah.
I love all those old PB Classics.
I actually we did a gig that was opening up for a country act, and you know, it was a national act, and they had a 212 and it was a boutique brand on stage, and you know, sounded great. I was like, "Oh man, that sounds so killer." Well, I hear all this sound coming from the side of the stage. I'm thinking, oh, weird. It's, you know, monitor under the stage to kind of do a side fill.
Mm-hmm.
Nope. I walk back there. It was one of the black Classic 30s underneath the stage with a mic in front of it, pointing out to the side.
Yep.
I couldn't believe it. This monster tone was coming from a Classic 30, and there was a dummy cab from a boutique brand. I was like, what? You know, and I didn't think that stuff really went on anymore.
Yeah.
But,
we saw that recently, though. Actually, we saw a band here recently.
Was I with you?
Yes, you were. And there was some amps.
What state?
It was in Indianapolis. And there was some amps on stage.
Oh, yeah.
And there was some totally
exactly
different
right.
amps backstage.
Yeah, you're totally right. We saw another one like that in Evansville. Mm-hmm. The whole back line. Was a brand
calling that? Wait a minute.
Very cryptic.
No, they were the headliner that night. The show we went to.
Wait a minute, was that where it wasn't even full cabs?
Yeah,
that's right. He's didn't like crawl up by one or something and take a picture.
Yeah,
cab was like 8 times bigger than it normally would be, so it looked great from the back of the stadium.
Oh man,
you gotta love it. If your amp's not good enough for someone to actually use it, paying someone to use it is just ridiculous in my opinion.
Yep. Without a doubt.
Where was I for that show? Oh yeah, I was here working.
we were working.
Max, sure. Who's going to do everything? Who's going to run the office if you go?
Just shows the trust that he instills in you.
Exactly.
Nobody he can answer those phones.
He has to take me with him because he doesn't trust me. He has to keep an eye on me.
I think Amanda doesn't trust Brian, so she makes you keep him alive. No, nobody can answer those phones like me. Let me tell you. I mean, I can get a mean cup of coffee when I need to.
That's not true. You're not the coffee guy
anymore. We got new people. No, they're the coffee
you're
people.
You're not the newest person anymore.
Yeah. So I can just tell them back when I started. I used to be the coffee.
8 months ago.
8 months ago.
To the day, right?
Life was different. Today, yeah, it's 8 months.
8 months to the day.
Wonderful months. Note that Brian's sitting 6 feet from me. Voice sounds like an old smoker. It's terrible.
Max is still high on prescription drugs.
It's true, yeah.
It's
not really.
It's not true at all. But.
These methylated cough drops right here. Take me to the moon and back.
So another thing that kind of brings us on to, and we may have already covered it, but...
Prescription drugs?
Not prescription drugs. I'm trying to keep us back on track here.
Oh, gotcha.
No, let's talk about prescription drugs.
Talking about tube and solid state and everything. Kind of brings us...
Nothing to do with prescription drugs. I don't get it.
The problem is you guys are both heavily under the influence. So I have to steer us back on track. But
somebody took us out for lunch and got us drunk.
And never mind.
Those hamburger bites.
But back on track. Look at me. They know it's pretty bad when I'm the guy getting us back on track.
You're not my real mom.
But anyways, talking about the tube and solid state.
Yep.
Kind of leads us into, you know, digital versus analog, obviously. Mm-hmm. Yep. How do you think that relates to, you know, just say distortion?
Sure. Well, there's...
Or do you think that's something that we just basically already covered?
No. I mean, there are brands, bigger brands usually, that have come out with distortion pedals that are based in the digital side. You know, they're all... It's written... Basically, it's computer code. More or less, that says, you know, make this note distort, you know?
Right.
Versus doing it the analog way, which I think it can be done. I think there's, you know, there's some guys that are really getting
real
good
close.
Like IK Multimedia.
Yeah.
I mean, are just doing a freaking crazy good job.
Well, yeah, they just released the Pinnacle.
Yeah.
And you sent me that and you said, hey, man, go home. You know, run through the Pinnacle, then run through this plugin, and you know, you asked me, said, "Well, what did you think of it?" And I said, "They got scarily close."
Yeah,
you know,
yeah, it was crazy how close it was.
Yeah, they captured like, because to me, like the gain isn't the hardest thing; it's the EQ,
right?
You know, and they actually captured that mid contour of that pedal. Mm-hmm. It's really cool,
and the way it clips, and a bit about the way it even responds, which is surprising.
Yeah,
you know, I mean, the thing with basically every digital distortion pedal I've ever played is most of them have like a fakeness to it, you know, for one.
Right.
And
especially
like this,
in the feel.
Yeah. The feel, there's like this weird artifact, like the clipping artifact that just doesn't sound right. And the feel, it seems like there's like this small disconnect. I don't know if it's like a little bit of latency or something, but maybe it's where the signal gets converted to digital and then back to analog again within the pedal. Somewhere in there, it just doesn't feel right, at least with the technology that you can put in a pedal.
Right.
Now, maybe that's the thing with like IK, that they're using the processor power of a computer.
Right.
You know, so they've got, you can do a lot more
within
that context.
To me, normally the digital stuff, and sorry if this is crude, but it just lays there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it gets the job done. Right. It's cool, but it just lays there, you know.
And I was even telling, you know, you and I were talking about, I was telling you the other day about how it was messing me up practicing because I had been playing so long, just, you know, like going through my interface and then into the computer, and I was just, you know, playing off my monitors where I have that isolated room. And when I went to play a gig or something and
with
an amp and my timing was completely off.
Yeah.
It was always just a little bit late. Every time I would pick a note, I'd pick it late. And I was like, that little tiny bit of latency has messed me up.
Yeah.
So now when I practice, I mean, I still...
Straight into the amp.
Yeah, yeah. I practice straight into the amp. I mean, still, I do a lot on the computer, but I always have to practice with just guitar, you know, pedals, whatever, into the amp. It's just for some reason, it's just
that would mess with me. It would rattle my confidence.
Oh man, you know what I mean, it was frustrating.
I'd be done the whole night
because I felt like I hadn't played for years, and because my timing was off so bad from months of just playing through the interface.
Yeah, I wouldn't be able to deal with that.
So I don't, and I always wonder. I mean, maybe. I don't know. I guess a better player can kind of adjust for it. I don't play enough to really get good enough at adjusting in situations like that.
Yeah,
I think. Maybe you would, I guess, if you're Brent Mason or something. You know?
That guy could do. He can play anything.
And he'd probably be like, I'm tired of playing right-handed. I'm going to play left-handed this song. You know?
Disgusting.
When you're disgustingly good, you're disgustingly good. Yeah. I mean, sometimes I'm going to just take his guitar away and shove him down a flight of stairs. Like, no one's supposed to be that good.
Well, you know what's
that's fair, not possible.
You know what's unfair with that guy is you could take all his gear away for 5 years, so he can't touch a guitar, and then you could go woodshed for 5 years, mm-hmm. and still not touch him. He'd give him his guitar back, and the very day you give him a guitar back, you might be as good as him.
Mm-hmm.
That's if you practice every day.
Right.
But he's that good, man.
Oh,
it's
is.
It's not fair.
I know. You know what's crazy? A couple years ago, I did like this little video thing, like showing behind the scenes of his gear. It's probably like 2006 or so. And
you did a more recent one, though.
Yeah, a more recent one. This is like the first one I did years and years ago. And the crazy thing is, I'd set up all his equipment for him, and he was gone or went to lunch or something. And I was playing through all his stuff, and I was like, I still freaking sound like
Brent Mason still.
Well, go ahead. But I mean, I was.
What was
because you hear him, you're like, wow, that's that sound you always hear.
Yeah.
And then I'm playing his old telly. I'm playing through everything he just played. I'm like, it sounds good, but I still sound 90% like me.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just crazy how much that affects everything.
Yeah, without a doubt. You know? And that's the thing too is. People, I get this a lot too. Well, not a lot, but I there's one pedal specifically for some reason. But somebody will say, "Man, I heard this pedal. It sounds great. It sounds nothing like it when I get it. It sounds nothing like it does on the sound clips." And sometimes, you just kind of have to say, maybe it doesn't work for your rig, your hands, your style. You know, maybe try this pedal.
Right.
You know, and that's kind of a tough pill to swallow sometimes, but I've bought pedals before that just didn't work
right
for me, and then I'll give it to somebody else, or somebody else will buy it from me, and it'll make me extremely jealous because they'll get the sound that was responsible for me buying the pedal in the first place, and I can't get it.
Well, it's like the Velvet Fuzz. I mean, you play the Velvet Fuzz, and I'm like, my gosh, man, that thing sounds great. I play the Velvet Fuzz, and it sounds like a country guy playing an overdrive pedal.
You do use it.
I'm like, ticka 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 ticka. I don't have that ability, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, but no, it's the truth. Just kind of like there's a pedal in our range, the Plextortion. When you play it, man, that thing sounds killer. When I play it, it's just like, I feel like it just sounds terrible, and I don't think it does, but
it's like you said, for some people, pedal A is going to sound great.
Right.
For a totally different person, even playing to the exact same rig, that same pedal could sound completely different based totally on hands and brain.
Yeah. Without a doubt. I once had a guy tell me, he said, cause he's kind of, I hate to use the word amateur because it's not like I'm this big pro touring musician, but he's kind of say what
anymore.
Right. Whatever. But he's not really into gear. Mm-hmm. He plays and he's a good player. He's just not really into gear. And, he plays his stuff. And then I got him up during an open mic night and he played through my rig and he said, everybody always thinks it'd be cool to drive a Ferrari until you drive a Ferrari. You realize it's too powerful. It handles too well. You can't get used to it. And then the whole time you're nervous and your confidence is shaking. It's just not fun. I was like, okay. He said, that's how it was playing your rig. because I had all this boutique gear and it was like so touch responsive and a lot of people couldn't respond to that. So for him, he didn't like any of it.
Right. I can see that.
Yeah. All this stuff that is higher priced and stuff that you gas over.
Well, it's,
then he finally played it. He was like, "No thanks."
Well, it's like I look at it like this. That's a great analogy. Mm-hmm. Whoever that said that to you, that's a great analogy because, like, You don't have teens yet. I do.
Right.
My teens love McDonald's.
Right.
I mean, there is no better hamburger than McDonald's to them. But you take them to a nice restaurant where they have great food and like, this is terrible. All these different spices. And right. It's got all these different, you know, it doesn't taste like McDonald's.
Right.
You know, yeah. But I mean, part of that's a maturity.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think it kind of, it goes that way with boutique gear, but I never thought about that, mm-hmm. you know, and cause I feel the opposite way. Sometimes I'll go to an open jam and Max and I hit on this a little bit, but, I'll go to an open jam and I'll have to play through something, you know, like
little 10 watts.
Yeah, exactly. And you're just like, oh man, they're like, it's fine, man. We got you mic'd up.
You don't need that big of an amp.
This is a gorilla.
Right, yeah, here. They're like, don't even worry about it. We got a line out in the back of that amp. When you hear that, you know, just don't even care about your crap.
It could be worse. Is that your pedal board? All right, we'll just plug this direct in the board here.
Oh, yeah. If only someone would make a cab simulator.
Someone might be working on one. I'm not going to say who, but it's possible.
Yeah. It's spelled like sampler.
I've heard it pronounced wamp something. Wampler.
I want to go off about the wah pedal, the wampler wah pedal. Mm-hmm. I think I get emails weekly of somebody saying, hey, feel free to use this. I came up with this.
This is a great idea.
All I want is a free pedal.
You know what we could do?
We could call it the Wampler.
We could accumulate all the emails that we get from people suggesting it and then divide up like all the profits for a year. Like, here's your 2 cents.
Yeah.
Here's your 2 cents for this one. Thank you for the name suggestion.
Yeah, thank you for the name.
We had 47,000 people.
Yeah. Although, if 2 cents, 47,000, that's a lot of pedals.
Uh-huh. Yeah, we probably would sell like 3 wahs, though. Yeah. I mean, the thing is, I love a great wah, and you know, we do get people to ask for wahs, but I hate to just do something because you can. You know, what are you going to do to make a wah better?
You're gonna different use
a,
or better?
Yeah, you're going to use a better inductor? Been done. Yeah. You're going to put options on there? Been done.
Well, here's the thing. I mean, look at Morley. They changed everything about the wah pedal with the Bad Horsey. And
yeah.
Some people loved it, but a lot of people hated it because it was different.
Yeah, and they actually did do a completely different wah.
Yeah, they
completely.
Yeah, they reinvented the wheel a little bit. Mm-hmm. You got to give them kudos for that.
And people are like, this sounds nothing like a crybaby.
Exactly. But why don't you make one, Brian? The one I hear a lot too is, you should make a wah pedal because I know yours would be better. And that's awesome that you've built that kind of relationship and everything, and people trust your ear so much. But it's kind of funny to hear your take on it, to the fact that you're like, but it's still a wah pedal.
Well, yeah, kind of so. I mean, right. There's some things you can do to make it better, but there's a lot of great wahs out there already. You
right.
know? It's kind of like a booster or a buffer pedal.
Especially a buffer.
Yeah, especially a buffer. I mean, there's a handful of ways to do it, and you're probably not going to make it sound better because
it doesn't affect tone.
It's a pretty basic, it's like a building block. It's like trying to make a fork better.
Yeah.
You know? Or a spoon better. Oh, it's got a cool handle on it. Okay. A
bigger spoon.
And of course, he goes back to food. Max is like, man, I'm hungry.
You let him in. You let him into that one, though. You're fork and spoon.
Smooth and crunchy.
Smoothie.
Full circle.
Smoothie.
Here. Smoothie.
I'm not even going to ask you the story about how you got your last smoothie.
It's not appropriate for on air.
It's not appropriate. Brian, remind me to tell you, though. It's fantastic.
It is pretty fantastic, but not surprising. Moving on.
But no, I think we hit on a lot of cool stuff here, mm-hmm. and it was really good to get your insight.
Sure.
On a lot of this stuff. You too, Max.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
I agree. That's my Max impression. I agree.
That's a terrible impression.
But no, seriously, Brian, thanks for taking time out of your schedule to come chat with Max and I.
Anytime.
Hopefully we can make it somewhat regular. I know you can't do every one of them. But.
Yeah.
So if you guys have any questions, comments, even suggestions for, you know, future topics or anything for the podcast, send an email to podcast@wamplerpedals.com and we'll try to get back to as many of those as possible. So thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.